amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Leaders without limits. Okay, here we go. The first thing that a leader without limit has to understand is the power of covenant. I want you to write that down, the power of covenant. You understand you will never win by yourself. You will win by understanding God has joined you together. The scripture, what God has joined together, man cannot break asunder, is not just for marriage. I am joined to this man. There's a covenant. We cannot see each other for months, see each other, and it's like we were together every day. Every day. We're in covenant to do something extraordinary. You get it? Grab somebody by the hand and say, we're a covenant team. So everybody that I meet, this is what question I have to ask. Write this down. How do you fit into my team? And how do I fit into your team? I listened to your business exploding, and I realized this symbiotic, powerful relationship you have with Prophet Joe, where it's just you know how to play together as a team. My favorite team in the world right now is the Golden State Warriors. They play basketball. Their three greatest stars are all hurt now. And in the semifinals, they won 4-0. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened is they learned how to define roles. Like if I'm in this church, it's not even what I do best. It's what does the church need most? Wow. Now, see, that's a leader without limits. A leader without limits. When I was a pastor on a church that I went to that had 100 people and we went to 15,000 people, I didn't need to prophesy. There was a ton of prophets in the house. You understand? They didn't need me, although I could do that. They didn't need me to preach on Sunday. We had an incredible revelator that preached on Sunday. See, a lot of times you lose your position and you lose your teammates thinking that you're not needed when you don't understand the need is what your calling is at that point. Did you understand what I just said? If you go by and there's nobody helping the children or the children's ministry is overloaded, let me tell you how God would see you walking in there to those kids. Well, I'm not really good with kids. Let me show you what God would show you. He would teach you things about yourself you never even knew about yourself. Doing the uncomfortable sometimes is what promotes you. Because usually what you're comfortable with, you're good at. And what's going to destruct your life is not being developed in areas you're not comfortable in. This is why I tell you the people you need most probably irritate you most. Paul did this. He looked over at Joe. I'm going to tell you something. No, it's the truth. I was waiting for some great prophetic word. First time I ever was like in prophecy, I was like, we grew up Pentecost, but there was no, like, people gave prophecies. There would be a message in tongues and somebody give an interpretation of tongues, but there was no prophecy, personal prophecy. So Bill Hammond, the father of the prophetic movement, comes into our church and he goes, I'm going to give a prophetic, it's like 300 people there that night. He says, I'm giving a prophetic word over everybody. And there was just a ring around the church of people waiting. And he was like a machine gun. He was like a prophetic Uzi. He was just like, and man, I couldn't wait. And so it became my turn. So Deborah and I stepped up and he said, whew. He said, son, I said, yes. And I was ready. I knew it was going to be great. He said, I see you and your wife like two banty roosters. Y'all are just pecking each other all the time. And I was going, this is not a good prophetic word. What is that about? This is not a good, you're like pecking each other.
You are both like diamonds in the rough. And the blue in the center is what God is after.
So all the stuff she pecked off me made me the man you want to hear today. And all the stuff I've pecked off her, Jesus, Lord have mercy. They will call her from countries now and say, would she come speak? And she'll have to say, I don't travel without my husband. They go, okay, he can come. I go, what? And then God said, she carried your bags for a long time. Now carry hers. Can I tell you how much arrogance stinks to God? Well, I see so much of that in the body of Christ. It breaks my heart. It's just ugly. It just stinks. That pride stinks. When you think for some crazy reason you're responsible for what God did through you, he just used you. You were just a vessel. A leader without limits. A leader without limits. You cannot know his glory without being in covenant with his body. How can the eye say to the ear, I have no need? I don't care what a great eye you are. You don't have a heart. Ain't no blood pumping to it. Can you just say out loud, I'm a part of a great body. That's okay. You don't have to be everything. If you try to be everything, you're going to lose your specialness and your uniqueness. Write this down. You need to ask God to define your unique factors. Then plus them. What's your unique factor? Some of my friends come to me and they say, Dwayne, why don't you tell people you can speak on stuff besides marriage and family? I can. And I'd rather speak on leadership than anything, because if you influence the leaders, you influence the world. But I go, but with marriage and family, I'm unique. If T.D. Jakes was here, I'd have to say, buddy, if we're going to talk about marriage and family, sit down, take some notes. That's my unique factor. Yes. Lift your hand right now and say, God, show me my unique factors. No, you didn't say it with enough conviction. Come on. Father, show me today my unique factors. And then I'm going to plus them. See, I don't need to know how to do trips to Israel. I'm in covenant. I don't need to have to know how to do Heal for Life. Are you hearing me? She knows more about that than I would know in a long time. This man knows more about politics and world issues and how God sees things. If I started to study right now, full stop, the rest of my life, I wouldn't be where he is. But I'm in covenant. Show me your team and I'll show you whether your dream will happen. You have to have a dream team. That's what you were saying about Rita. You said, I couldn't do nothing without Rita. Rita is the... See, without limits doesn't mean you can do it all. It just means you have a team that can do it all. That's why you always need to be talking your vision. Then you will attract your team. Because somebody will go, that's the same thing God was saying to me. We just hooked up. See, you say, well, nobody's worried about how. When's the last time you really shared about your vision? Yeah. You can't draw something if people don't know it. When I travel with my dad in his ministry for the first 25 years of my life, I was a bass player and a horn player. And then I began to be a youth speaker. Dad would have a youth night at the revival, and I would do the youth night. I was less than, that was my role. Here, I want you to hear this word and put this in you forever. Senior pastor is not the highest role at this church. It's just his role at this church. If your role is worship leader, it would be a step down to be a senior pastor. When I had the largest youth ministry in America, people said, "So when you grow up, what do you want to be?" I said, "A youth pastor." Why would I want to be something else? You can't be great at what you are if you're looking to what you want to be. Right? God will promote you without you trying to manipulate the promotion. He'll promote you when you finish your course in that place. And then all of a sudden, God will just go. And can I tell you this? Write this down. You'll never violate your original calling. I'm still a youth pastor. I still play the horn. You don't lose callings, you build on callings. What was the first thing you ever did in ministry? You're still an usher. Watch, look at the way you work the room. Still an usher. It is the truth. He's an usher. What was the first thing you ever did in church? You were so... I love this man. I Paul's my buddy. What was it? House group leader. You're still a small group leader. That's what your core group is for Hill River Life. It's your small group. What was the first thing, Sarah, you ever did in church? Clean. You're still cleaning, baby. I bet you if you walk by past something and it's not right, you can't help yourself. It's like a magnet. You're just kind of drawn to it, right? You never lose your original calling. You just build on it. It just means you have more tools in your toolbox. Okay. Before this last year, I was booked every week of my life to be somewhere in some nation. I would come home, switch clothes, and go to another nation. Then all of a sudden, this is where you are, church, Harvest Church, leaders. You're really at a place where God's going to show you how to do greater things in a different way. So he said to me, "You're not going to be traveling like you were before." And I said, "Well, God, what about all these people that were called? They stopped calling." I got this incredible prophetic word from Sean Bolts, and he said, "Things are going to slow down so God can bless you and speed things up." And so now, instead of traveling 4 weeks a month, I travel once a month and make more money. Now I write books for people. I never knew I could do that. I want you to say right now, there are gifts in me. Come on, say it. I didn't know anything about. I'm a leader. No, say it like you mean it. There are gifts I didn't know anything about. But circumstances are going to awaken them. Holy Ghost is going to awaken them. There are things in you don't know about. I have started writing books for other people that they've been waiting for years to get out. And now God has used me to be the catalyst to do that. I didn't know I could do that. If they do their homework, I can write the book about their life in 1 week. I could do a book in a week. I never knew that people would call me from around the world. Here's prophetic for you. And I would mentor them in other countries. They call me up and they go, what do I do about this and this and this and this and this? And I go, this and this and this. Because when you have the gift of wisdom, there aren't any hard questions left. No. See, you're acting confused. When you have the gift of wisdom, receive that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's in this house. It's in this house. It's in this house. I receive the gift of wisdom. I receive the gift of wisdom. I receive that. I receive that. So don't get overwhelmed. Just ask God to answer. And when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. You think God's up in heaven going, Jesus, what are we going to do? Toki's got this problem. I don't know what to do. What do you think? Jesus going, I don't know. How stupid is that? Gift of wisdom, say, I receive it. I receive it. I'm a leader without limits, and I receive it. I receive it. The reason you get frustrated is you're trying to figure it out in your mind. And the second thing is you should have a brain trust and a spirit trust around you. I don't have to be great at everything. I have a phone. I'll call Prophet Kathy. And I'll say, hey, this is what time it is. What's up? And she'll go boom, 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 boom. And she'll go, I'm about to speak in this church, and this is what's going on in this conference. What do you think? And I'll go boom, 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 boom. And then we both hang up the phone. Bam. Yeah. So much for that. That's over. See, you don't need people in your life that are just like you. You need people in your life that are very different than you. Yes. Okay. All right, here we go. Leaders without limits understand the principle of all in. You can never be great dating God, being engaged to God, date a church, be engaged to a church. Intimacy without covenant is prostitution. I'm not really... Pastor Paul, going to be a part of the church. I love your ministry. I get all these things from you. Here's some money. What do you call that? Does that make you uncomfortable? Me saying prostitution? You're getting love and getting intimacy and you're paying for it. All in. Come on, somebody say, I'm all in. See, that's why women, don't be dating a man that don't want to go all in. If you've been dating him a year and he ain't asked you to marry me, he ain't all in. It ain't happening. So I got real quiet. But I know I can change him. I know I can change him. If he knew that you were the one, he'd go all in. What? Without okay, I don't know. When you saw her, how long did it take you to figure it out? 20 minutes. Listen to your leader. You saw Tim, how long did it take you to figure it out? Two weeks. See, I'm talking, I said, have people been dating a year? No. How long did it take you to figure it out, Toki? personal foul. Or maybe that blew my point. I'm not going to ask that anyway. Okay, here we go, here we go. Leaders without limits understand, write it down, the trickle-down effect. They understand the trickle-down effect. Stand right here. Now, let me explain something to you. Stand on the chair. Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to tell you. The reason you should be excited when I give any prophetic word to him is because the trickle-down effect is everybody that's under him gets what's on him. It's on you. Leaders without limit go, thank you, God. Thank you for giving that word to this apostle. Whew, I receive that. Thank you for giving that word to Apostle John. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. You are missing so much anointing, so much authority, so much power when you realize there's a trickle-down effect. And that's why I know that Paul and Joe believe this, I always expose my children to great people. Right? Because there's a trickle-down. There's a trickle-down. And the oil flows on Aaron's head, through his beard, through his shoulders. So where is the greatest anointing? At his feet. At his feet. So I serve him and I get more than actually he gets.
Praise God. Thank you, sir.
Amen. First time that this great man of God came to our church in Miami. I said, and now to bring the word this morning, Apostle Paul Naughton. And we had a green room on this stage, and we had a false wall where you could go from one side of the stage to the other. And I looked around, and he came out like a soldier on his belly, army crawling to the pulpit. And I was going, what is he doing? What is he doing? Everybody in the church was amazed. They were having the biggest time. Here's this guy from England acting like he's a undercover special forces soldier, like sneaking up on me. And then he preached the whole message with his sunglasses on his head like that. And as I was on the plane flying over here, I was praying about what to speak to you. And God said, did you not see prophetically what was going on? That man is a stealth undercover warrior that is sneaking up to do things. And your future is so bright, you have to have sunglasses close because you got to put those bad boys down to see what God has for you. Now that trickle down is on you. Leaders without limits. See, if you're not really, reach up, touch your eyes, say, God, I want to see everything that's going on. I want to see everything. Man, when I walk in a room, I walk in Harvest, I'm watching everything. I'm seeing how everything is because I have my covenant brother and sister. I've got to share with them. I'm looking, I'm seeing. I listened to the story that he told me about you yesterday in the car. I was looking for you last night. A righteous person's steps are ordered of the Lord. Reach out and touch somebody. Who you're sitting by is not by accident. I'm watching everything. I would say I'm seeing. Come on. All right. For 17 years, I worked as an associate youth pastor and then an associate pastor at my uncle's church, and we grew from 150 to 15,000. Our sanctuary would seat 8,000 people. And I'll never forget, my uncle would be sitting on the stage, and I always sat right beside him. And he would always be just like this. He would be about to go up and preach, and I would be sitting right here. And he would put his Bible like this next to his head. And he'd go, "God, I hear you. I hear you." And I'd be sitting there going, we were in the same place, but we were hearing different things. I had not understood how to take advantage of who was over me, or I could have been hearing what he was hearing. So when I got moved from a youth pastor, they gave me 1,000 people in the church to pastor. So I went for my first hospital call. And when I went in there, it was one of the mothers of the church. She was sitting there dying. And I came in and I said, "I'm here to pray for you." She said, "Well, thank you, son. Thank you. I appreciate you coming. Now you could just go ahead and go back and tell me when Bishop's coming." Well, there were 3 people from the church. Everybody I went to their room, they didn't want me to pray for. They wanted the man to pray for. And so I came back to church that day, and my uncle called me in his office, and he said, "Well, how did the hospital visits go?" And I said, "It didn't go real well. They all sent me out of the room." And he said, "Well, you haven't learned to go in my authority." He said, "Kneel down." He put his hands on me, and he said, "May the God that works in me and that heals through me be on you in Jesus' name. Now get up and go back in that room." And I opened the room different, and I walked over, and she said, "Is Bishop coming?" I said, "Bishop's here." I said, "Now you want to be healed or you not want to be healed?" "I want to be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed." And that woman got up. Leaders without limits know how to access the authority and the power that's around them. You think she should be the only one to know how to do deliverance and what? You're under her? How many of y'all like the revelation this man brings? You like it? It's kind of phenomenal, isn't it? Why don't you ask, what did you get on your hands and knees? Say, "What's on you, put it on me, in case I need to have that kind of revelation sometime." God's no respecter of person. I did some extraordinary in Caracas, Venezuela, illustrated sermon. And it was great. Man, I had the whole stage was full of people doing stuff, and it was great. And this 75-year-old man came up to me, put a $100 seed in my hand, which, if you understand, in Venezuela, that'd be like somebody here giving $100,000, yeah. And he knelt down and he says, "Okay, now what's on you? I want it to be on me. I want to do illustrated sermons like you." And I went, "God, have mercy. I've got this really like creative mind." And God said, "Who put that mind in you?" I laid my hands and I said, "God, everything that's on me, put on that man." The next time I went to the conference down there, now this was a world conference, I saw his name. I went, "Wow, he did a message on Esther. He must have had 40 people on the stage. It was like Broadway." I was sitting there and I was going, "Man, I wish I had thought of that." How many in here is a leader without limits? Do you realize how many gifts that are in the room that God puts for you? All you just have to do is be willing to sit down and say, "God, I want what you have on you, on me." Are you too proud? I'm not too proud. I'm not too proud. What you have on you, I want on me. You have something incredible on you. You don't think I would want that on me? Okay. Leaders without limits. Matthew 6:13. End of what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you want to be a leader without limits, you must live with a deliverance mindset. In other words, I'm open and I desire to be delivered at all times. Because stuff just gets stuck on you. You know that's true, right? You're walking through the day and this gets stuck on you. And you come, something happens to you at your work, something else gets stuck on you. And the next thing you know, somebody hurts your feelings, something else gets stuck on you. And then you come home and you're so tired. You're tired because you're carrying a bunch of stuff you don't supposed to carry. You need to, in the name of Jesus, you need to get that stuff off in the name. Get it off of you. Get it off of you. Raise your hand right now and say, anything that don't belong on me, get it off of me right now in the name of Jesus. I live in a state of deliverance. I live free. I live in liberty. I will, come on, shake it off. Don't let that stuff get on you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't want that stuff on me. I'm not carrying that stress and those burdens and that junk around. Then he says, for three levels, leaders without limits understand this. Because it all starts, number one, with understanding the kingdom. Kingdom leadership is the rule and reign of God in every area of your life. And it takes you to an unlimited place. That's why Miles Monroe, bless his heart, he's in heaven right now. He said, you in America never understand kingdom because you live in a democracy. He said, when I was a little boy in the Bahamas, we got all up and pledged to the queen first thing every morning. It's not a democracy. She makes a call, we do it. How many of you understand you live in a theocracy? God is the head. I live in a kingdom, and I have access because the veil's been torn from the top to the bottom. I live in a kingdom. There are kingdom rules. And if I'm part of a kingdom and I'm an ambassador of this kingdom, let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you're in America, if you're in the English embassy. In America, you're on English territory. And if somebody was to try to touch you in the English embassy in Washington, they would feel the wrath of the whole armed forces of England. I just did a services in Tierra del Fuego where Argentina thought they could go over to the Falkland Islands and take over. And they walked on the English soil. And Margaret Thatcher dispatched the full brunt of the English. That was 2 days long? It was about like 2 days. Because watch this. I live in the embassy of the kingdom of God. I live in the embassy of the kingdom of God. And even if I'm a leper, one of the four lepers poor outside of a city that's starving to death, God looses his armed forces over the top of me. And in the space of 24 hours, as the prophet said, food will be so prevalent and in abundance, everybody will be blessed. Somebody talk about leaders without limits. Turn to somebody saying, 24 hours, everything could change. I see you get it. Who gets that? Who gets that? Who? How do y'all know? In 24 hours, your prime minister just changed. Yes or no? Yes. May out. June's coming. May's out. I want to tell you something. It's something I desperately want your input on, Naughton's, and even as I heard you talk about Rita, but I'm talking about right now with Prophet Kathy and about a world-renowned leadership school online where we handle anything, where it's all about his kingdom. And we lose people in there. Do you realize the people that y'all know, that we know? A real school of leaders without limits? Where you would say, okay, my husband says start a business, okay. And now there's no room. You don't have any room in the schedule. You're booked. Everybody just say one idea, one God idea, one God idea. Isn't that what Einstein said? He said there's God's ideas and everything else is details. That's supposed to be like the smartest guy ever, or one of them. Leaders without limits. Leaders understand how to guard their power usage. His is the kingdom and the power. Power without purpose is destructive and dangerous. God, give me the power. Acts 1:8, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will endue you with power. But power without purpose is dangerous. It's like somebody that has a laser and they're just out kind of, they could cut a diamond and they're just out like, ooh, look what I got a laser. Oh, sorry. Cut your head off. That's all right. We'll make another one. When you ask God for power, God gives you power. You need to pray, God, give me the maturity and how to use this power. You realize how Jesus would, I'm supposed to be through at 3, right? Yes. Yeah, I can. You want to do it before? 2:45. Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect. I'll do it. You understand how I'm under authority? I love submission. Submission is not weakness. It's strategy. Okay. Leaders without limits know how to wear the glory. You remember that from last night? They know how to wear the glory. It's a trusted place where you represent Father God by moving with his authority and his power, yet completely submitted to him. It takes discipline. It takes time. Leaders without limits understand what is your audience. See, in business, this is why. I do certain things that always remind me. My degree is not in Bible. My degree is from one of the top business schools in the world. I wear this watch on purpose today because it's from Apostle Jorge Pampa. He is maybe the most brilliant guy in finances I've ever met in Monterrey, Mexico. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He started as a poor boy and a little tent, you know those tents that you have over the casket and the graveside service? I'm talking about a tent from here. And he had a sound system, a little sound system that he had saved all of his money for, and he would sleep on top of his sound system so nobody would steal it. He's 40 years old. He's a man without limits. It's a man without limits. He's building a church debt-free to seat 7,500. He has thousands of people coming. I'm talking about every miracle you can imagine. But he knows no limits financially. He's extraordinary. I can't tell you. He said, let me go out and take you to my ranch. You know, and I just believe it has to do with his church. You know, 70% of the economy of Mexico comes from Monterrey. And the largest city in the world is in Mexico, Mexico City, 30 million people. 70% comes from that city. See, I believe there's a reason that Atlanta, the city I live in, is kind of the spiritual capital of America. It's because Dr. King and some people made a significant, they were leaders without limits. Do you understand that one person can make all the difference? You need to all be a student of history and see that it's happened in the past. Why can't it happen again? Okay. So I went to his ranch where he lets his father live, and out there he has one pasture full of deer, one pasture full of ostriches, another pasture full of cattle, he's horses. He has all, it's like a zoo he has. And then he has his other places. And I said, how can you do, his people are blessed financially. How many of you believe that God could put the movers and shakers financially of London in this house? Do you want God to bring them in, or do you want to be them? You're in the right house to understand. My, for God's sakes, your pastor's a banker. One of my friends that I introduced him to, he has the third largest credit card processing company in the state of Florida. I just finished writing his book. He was drunk for 40 years because when he was a 12-year-old boy, he saw his brother get run over and killed on a bicycle, and he went to his dad, and he says, Dad, I'm hurting so bad. I don't know what to do. And his dad gave him a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey, and he says, well, this is what does it for me. And from the time he was 16, for the next 40 years, he was drunk every day of his life. Wow. 10 years ago, God sovereignly delivered him. I said, God sovereignly delivered him. He is a man who makes millions and millions of dollars. You know how much college he has? I'm not against college. I went and got my degree. It's good. But I'm telling you, God can use you right where you are. God can give you one idea. He can give you authority. He can give you a power. He can give you a life without limits. Here's my audience. Here's what you need to write down. Whose approval do you need? Because whoever's approval you need is who's leading you and influencing you. As long as I have God's approval and Deborah's approval, I'm good. I'm good. I would like all of you to like me, but if y'all all went, man, you are the worst speaker we have ever heard. What is Pastor Paul thinking about having you come here? You know how much that would mean to me? Nothing. Nothing. I would just go, there's somewhere else people are going to love me because I'm going to go where I'm celebrated, not where I'm tolerated. That doesn't mean I'm rude or I'm arrogant. Now, I've gotten into such covenant relationship with these two that if they thought something bad about me, it would hurt my feelings a little bit. I wouldn't quit, though. Okay. Leaders without limits know how to stop things in their life that don't work and know how to put energy into what God is blessing. Religious people are the worst. They just continue to do things and they call it warfare over something that's not working. If it's not working, have a funeral. Yeah, I'll come play taps. We'll bury that program and go on to the next thing. The world is moving at such speed. You always be open. Remember, God will not share his glory with anyone. Now watch this. Leaders without limits, write this down, are in touch with how passionate they are about what God has called them to do. See, how passionate are you? Now, let me explain. I am like, come up here, bass player. What's his name? Kamau. Yeah. Kamau? Kamau. Kamau. Have you ever run track, Kamau?
Yes,
sir. Okay, you know how to get in the start blocks? You get down the start blocks. Well, that's good. Runners, take your mark. Get set. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You are so ready to go. My coach would walk around me like this, and he would go, now, when I fire this gun, I want you to explode out of those box. I want you to explode. I would be quivering like that. And he would come around and go, hot dog! It wasn't the gun. See, you can't be moved by sounds that are from another world. You can't be moved. You cannot go off and waste your power. He would come around me and go, hey! What? No, I'm not moved except for one voice. Baby, when that gun comes off, pow! Oh, exactly right. Now, see, this is the way I start every day. I'm quivering in the blocks. I'm passionate about what God's called me to do. Say it. Come on, someone say it. If you're not, I'm passionate. If you're not passionate about what God's called you to do, something's wrong. You're doing the wrong thing. Go to pastors and go, help me find my thing. Because if you're not passionate about it, that's why you need medicine to go to sleep.
Right.
That's why you keep hitting the snooze button to not want to get up. That's when you go to work and you're dragging. No. Leaders without limits are passionate about what they do. The zeal of the Lord has consumed me. Are you passionate about it? Think about what God's called you to do. Let me see your face. Show me your face. Let me say I'm passionate. Let me look at your face. Okay. All right. I believe that. Ooh, I like that, uh-huh. Okay. You're passionate. You are? Show me. Tell me you're passionate. Mm-hmm. See, you don't have to be loud. You just have to be forceful. Let me see it. You're passionate? Say it. Ooh, I like that. I have to move back. There was a lot of power coming from there. I like that. Tell me.
We're passionate.
Okay. Now, see, she just sucked three people into her passion. They were just sitting on other people around her. They don't even know what happened. They just their chair moved closer to her. Just let me see it. You're passionate. Say it.
Passionate.
I like that.
I'm passionate.
Now see, I could go to war with him. No, I'm serious. Let me see it.
I'm passionate.
See, you all know. You can see. All right, red table, let's go. Here we go.
I'm passionate.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll pick up. Are we going to do some questions? Or you want to just end? If you've got a question, write it down about how to be a leader without limits, how to accomplish what God wants you to do. I love you. You have some already back there? Or if you need paper, he's got it. Paper or pen. This is why I love to do this. I love to do this because you're always ministering right on target because people are saying, this is what I want to talk about. And I'm not afraid. Back at the corner. As soon as you get them, run them up to Pastor Paul. and then he'll give them to me. While you're doing that, I'll just give this one for free. All right? Here we go.
Nope.
Okay. All right, here we go. I got you. I got you. Let me have my keyboard player just for a second. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, I have said a lot of things that encourage you. I've said a lot of things that motivate you. But there is something about touching and agreeing. There's something. Everybody, stand up, stand up, stand up. There's something very special about touching and agreeing. Touching and agreeing. Touching and agreeing. Father, we thank you that we are leaders without limits. We are leaders without limits. We're still in glory confidence. I see your glory come down right now. I see your glory come down. I want you right now just to look. 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 Heaven's looking. I see your glory come down. I see
your glory come down.
I see your glory.
I see your glory.
I
see your glory. I see your glory come down. I pray.
I really believe what God has put on Deborah and I in the past year is a new level of leadership without limits. And I, when Deborah whispered to me, I just really believe that God wants to impart something to you. If you would like the anointing of leaders without limits, just come down here right now. Come down right now. And without limits, without limits. Maybe if you feel anything to prophesy, Pastor Paul, Pastor Joe. Yes, 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 yes. I want you to begin to cry out. I want to go beyond anything I've ever gone before. I want to experience things I've never experienced before. Never experienced before. That I've never experienced.